You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I mean, Super Bowl week, I thought I knew what we'd be talking about, and then this, the NBA took over. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Jay Williams is here. Of course, Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam. Tim Legler's coming out. We've got Swagoo. Marcus Spears will be with us in just a minute. And, of course, the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Gentlemen, feeling good?
Morning. Good morning.
Good, good.
All right. Let's get it. That blockbuster trade before the All-Star break. The Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks. Irving is expected to arrive in Dallas today for a physical and make his Mavs debut at the Clippers on Wednesday, a source telling our Adrian Wojnarowski. Here's Woj with more.
Both Brooklyn and Dallas were motivated to move quickly, get that deal done once they really started to talk on Sunday. I think Dallas, they might have liked to put a little less draft capital in that trade, but they didn't want to lose Kyrie Irving. So they moved to get it done Sunday. They did that with Brooklyn, who now wants to take the assets from that trade, both draft capital and perhaps Spencer Dinwiddie. They've got three first-round picks between now and 2029 that they can put in trades. And so they're going to continue to be active to try to keep, you know, Kevin Durant tethered to this Brooklyn franchise, at least through Thursday's trade deadline.
Woj, thank you. So the Mavs making a huge splash yesterday, pairing Luka Doncic with Kyrie Irving, as you just heard. The Nets took the Mavericks deal over several others. It sends Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith to Brooklyn, along with a 2029 unprotected first-round pick and two second-round picks. The New York Daily News page wasn't kind to Kyrie here. Quote, he's your headache now. So there's that. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Good to see you.
How are you?
Hope you had a good weekend.
Good.
Jay, I'm going to start with you. How does Kyrie look now after this whole trade?
I think people just need to understand context here. So I felt like this divorce was inevitable. And so, you know, the entire time they've been looking for a contract extension. And one of the first times they got a contract extension was around when everything was happening with the pandemic and literally got offered, hey, look, you can take the shot. You can get the vaccine. We'll give you the extension. Kyrie chose not to. All right. Walked away from the money based upon his principle. So you finally get to this point where Kevin Durant goes down. And then Kyrie Irving is still asking his team for an extension. When you get an extension, three-year extension worth $100+ million, where the third year isn't guaranteed and it's contingent upon you winning a championship. I got a chance to ask Bobby Marks on our show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max before. And he said, you know, it's probably five players in the NBA right now that have those contingency qualities in their contract. And none of those players are even at the caliber of Kyrie Irving. So they didn't give a reply. They didn't counter back at all. And that's when you saw this need for, hey, look, this is not working out. I've been asking for it. I haven't gotten it. And now it's time for me to break away. So I always kind of felt like it was trending in this direction between the two. The two have never really seen eye to eye on this type of deal. And I think that's why you have Kyrie Irving right now. That's today a part of the Dallas Mavericks.
Tim?
You know, the irony of all of this for me is just a week ago, I was on SVP and I said, man, this is the best stretch Kyrie Irving has had as a Net right now. And he looked engaged. He was consistent every night. He looked bought in. It was the first time since he got there and Kevin Durant got there that they looked like a team that could win a championship. But the way they had played over the last couple of months with KD and while he was out and knowing that he's coming back and some of their role players that stepped up, I'm like, okay, I'm buying into what this could potentially end up in this year. And then this all happened. So, look, there's a restlessness to Kyrie Irving, right, and a dissatisfaction that he portrays now in several different places, several different stops where, to your point, it did seem like eventually this was going to happen. But a week ago, I didn't see this coming to this extent now. So what's the aftermath of this? You look at the two franchises and you say, okay, where are they today relative to before this happening? For the Nets, clearly, they're not going to be a team now that I think can contend as currently constructed with Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly. So now this is a team that goes from, I think, could get to the finals and win a championship to, at best, win a first-round series, unless something else happens before the trading deadline. For Dallas, look, I'm not going to waste anybody's time with talking about Kyrie's talent because I feel like I'm always talking about, oh, well, Kyrie's so talented, but. We know how good he is. It's self-evident. Everybody knows that. The question is the fit with Luka Doncic. Now, this addresses when he's not in the game, and that's been a big problem for them because they have nowhere else to go offensively. That addresses that. What about the fit with Luka Doncic when the two of them play together? They're significantly worse defensively and offensively. Is Kyrie going to really, you know, enjoy the way Luka plays stylistically and vice versa? For Luka, you're probably excited to have this kind of talent, but there has to be a fit and a rhythm to your games, the way that they both want to play. And I need to see that. So for me, I don't see how automatically this makes Dallas now a contender in the Western Conference. I need to see those two guys play together significant minutes before I think that they've taken a step forward in Dallas, because I'm just not sure about it, because Luka Doncic dominates the ball to an extent that no other player in the league does.
Yeah.
And how's that going to fit with Kyrie Irving and his particular set of skills? So I need to see that going forward.
No disagreement. I have higher hopes for Dallas with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in the backcourt together, only from the standpoint that when you're prolific offensively, sometimes that helps you defensively. It doesn't help make you better defensively, but it puts pressure on opposing offenses to be more efficient because they know they can't stop you. And sometimes that works to your advantage. It remains to be seen. You think about Denver, you think about Memphis in the Western Conference and a few other teams, obviously you're going to throw them in the mix. The reality of the situation is that Dallas could make some noise, but they ain't going to win a championship. But could they make some noise and I think threaten to at least go to the finals by making the trip to the Western Conference Finals? I think it's possible. I think it's plausible. Would I bet my money on it? Not yet because of the defensive liabilities, but nevertheless, I'd give them a chance. Let me get back to what Jay Williams was talking about with Kyrie Irving. Let's just tell the American public what the hell has been going on, okay? Mm-hmm. We all know. This is not a conversation about Kyrie Irving, the basketball player. We know he's spectacular. He's a superstar. Two categories for me. There's a superstar player and there's a superstar. Tim Duncan was a superstar player. He's going to go out there. He's going to be Mr. Fundamental. He's going to kick you behind. He's going to win championships. He's that. Kyrie Irving's a superstar because he's box office. Kobe, MJ, LeBron, Steph Curry. Kyrie's one of those dudes you walk through the turnstiles to see perform because that is how spectacular he is. We're not questioning his skills. This is not about basketball. Nobody's going to get, not that you guys are trying, but nobody's going to get slick here when it comes to the Kyrie Irving subject. Kyrie Irving is a superstar basketball player. We're also not going to get into his character as a man. This man has donated money to the WNBA players during a pandemic. His foundation, you know, provided water for over 1,000 citizens in Pakistan. You've got stuff where he's donating meals and all. This dude's heart is in the right place. He is not a bad person. He's a good dude, okay? We're not saying anything that about him. Here's the problem with Kyrie Irving. You don't show up to work because there's always something that distracts him from showing up to work consistently. That is the issue with the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets is not, oh, what headlines you create. Please, you can deal with all of that. It's Brooklyn, New York. It's not about the headlines. It's about the fact that you never knew when those headlines would lead to him being off from work. Okay? That has been the issue with Kyrie Irving, who has missed about 40% of his games as a Brooklyn Net, who was never reliable when it came to being available for Kevin Durant and his teammates for one reason or another. We don't have to regurgitate those same things. I can if you want me to, but I'm not going to do that today. That is the reason why Kyrie Irving had to leave town. So when we ask the question about how does Kyrie Irving look, he doesn't look good. He can give out his tweets and he can talk about thank you to Brooklyn or whatever. You know what? A real thank you would have been showing up so they could see you at the Barclays Center the most nights. But unfortunately, throughout your 3+ year tenure in Brooklyn, that was not the case. And all you have to show for it is one playoff series victory. Kevin Durant and James Harden were teammates. It's not entirely Kyrie Irving's fault. But the bottom line is Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden were together
And in the end, after 3.5 years of his tenure in Brooklyn, you got one playoff series victory. Do I think that he's going to go and play? I think in Dallas, he's going to put on a show. All right? We'll see what happens in the postseason, but as an individual, he's going to put on a show. He's going to remind you why he was the leading vote getter amongst guards for the Eastern Conference All-Stars. He's going to remind you of how spectacular he could be. He's going to provide those moments, but he's not going to erase and eradicate the number one question that comes attached to him. Is he going to be available for you when you need him? That is the question about Kyrie Irving, and that's why you see the back page headlines where they say headaches and all of this other stuff. And I'm not saying that that's entirely accurate. Some of it wasn't Kyrie's fault. Like you pointed out, he gave back money. He passed up on the extension. Last year when he didn't play because he wasn't getting vaccinated, it wasn't like he took the money. He gave it $17, $18 million. He is a principled person, no doubt about it. But in the end, when you sign up to play basketball, that's what people want to see. Mm-hmm. They want to see you play basketball. And they didn't see Kyrie Irving play enough of it. That is the legacy, period.
Don't you think there's I hear you on if you're a billionaire, if you're a team owner, like you want your product on the floor instead of going into the luxury tax every single year. You want to see that win a championship. I understand that aspect of it.
Okay.
But don't you feel like the way Kyrie Irving has been labeled is a little bit misjudged? Don't you think it's almost like, you know, I've heard things like he is a headache. The decision was an idiotic decision.
I thought initially his trade demand was idiotic.
Okay.
And then we heard that you got four teams ready to pay the brother money. You know, go get the money. You see what I'm saying? I thought it was idiotic because I thought it brought attention to all the question marks about him when he was playing so well. But then you hear about both L.A. teams, Dallas and Phoenix, ready to pay him, ready to take him on. And then you say, okay, not so idiotic. It's actually smart on his part.
Okay, I get it. But, like, where is the blame on the organization? It's not a two-way street? Because it feels very, it's all Kyrie.
Okay.
Because he's the only, I'm like, wait a second. Sean Marks, I got all respect in the world for him.
Right.
He's the one that got all these guys together.
Okay, can I ask you?
Sure.
So, because you know,
yeah,
Jake, you do this a lot. I'm getting ready to break it down for you, right? So I'm instead of refuting what you're saying, I'm going to throw you a scenario. Stay with me, Tim.
All right.
So Jay Williams, you're a superstar basketball player. I'm the GM. And I'm not absolving Sean Marks because Sean Marks needs to do a better job. He hasn't been perfect. We all know this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe Tsai wasn't connected to the sport of basketball. He got the money, but the game itself, he ain't attached to it like that. He's learning as he goes along. But he knows that Kevin Durant's a superstar.
Yep.
Kevin Durant's likes package deal. I want Kyrie with me. I'm leaving Steph Curry. I'm coming with Kyrie. You want me, Kyrie comes with you because you know that Brooklyn didn't necessarily want Kyrie Irving. They just took him because Kevin Durant insisted that Kyrie Irving and him were a package deal. So now that we know that, you're Kevin Durant. I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at you, two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP, Mr. Reliable, because the only time Kevin Durant misses games is legit injuries. There's no drama involving Kevin Durant. This brother wants the ball all day, every day. He don't want to miss games. I come to you and I say to you, you tell me what you want. And you are that preeminent of a superstar. Why would I not give you the keys? Why would I not? Because if you're going to blame Sean Marks and Joe Tsai, what you have to concede, Jay Williams, is that they're to be blamed for trusting the players. You can't, there's no way around that.
Wait, so this is a great point that you brought up.
Okay.
What do we complain about L.A. all the time? What do we say? They gave LeBron too much power,
okay.
Right? Oh, LeBron won you guys a chip. But now we're saying he has too much power because of the Russell Westbrook decision that you and I talked about. I'm like, this different teams, different camps, a different way of leaking out information.
Okay.
Right? So we annihilate LeBron James because he has too much power.
No one annihilated him.
Oh, come on, Steve.
Nobody annihilated him. Nobody annihilated him. You're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Because he won a championship. Everybody acknowledges that LeBron delivered. He delivered on what he came to LA to do. What they say, however, is this. You won the championship with these guys, and you made a decision based on your personal preferences. You have a relationship with Russell Westbrook, and you were willing to give up guys who helped you win a championship to get your boy there. That was the criticism about him. That was all.
Okay. So still, who does that fall on? The organization who's trying to figure that out, correct?
Okay,
so the same thing with the Brooklyn Nets. So KD, the other way is like, look, I want to do things, but I'm actually giving you guys a lot of the power here to make decisions.
Okay.
Has Sean Marks done a good job with this roster construction?
I don't think. Well,
yeah, but can I interject here? I will say this. I think Sean Marks has been criticized a lot, though.
Yeah, I agree.
So I mean, you seem like he's been absolved of everything. I don't think
he has. Well, no. It's just,
I think Sean Marks, to me, it's about what the headline always is.
Why would the headline be Sean Marks instead of Kyrie Irving?
But I do want to address something you said about Kyrie, though. When you say, is he misjudged? Here's what I'll say. In some regards, this isn't always the case in life, but sometimes perception is reality. And the perception of him is he's not accountable to anybody else in the locker room with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a team sport. And you played on a lot of teams. You covered teams, right?
So, and was a winner.
And then for me, mm-hmm. as a player, I know this my entire life. It was always about it. Well, I wasn't accountable even as much as a player to my family, to the fans, to the organization, to myself, obviously, because you want to do your thing and get paid. But it was, I don't want to let this dude down, this dude down, this dude down. And in a team sport, when you're trying to reach the pinnacle and win, it's so critical that people feel that. And so from that standpoint, I don't think it's unfair to judge him in that way. He doesn't seem accountable and responsible to the people that he is playing with. He's very much about what is my next thing that I want to do to make me satisfied.
Can we talk through that? So one of the big things is police brutality in this country and around George Floyd. Kyrie Irving wasn't the only black man that was questioning whether he wanted to go to work or not and make a stand on that. That's a pretty unprecedented thing. That was a big thing. Number one. Number two, the pandemic, whenever you get approached by saying, hey, you can have this extension if you take the vaccine, he chose not to. Like, that's enough. There are other players in the NBA who were unvaccinated that didn't get their feet held to the fire the way Kyrie Irving did, by the way. Stephen A., you held his feet to the fire because of the city mandate. No, let me finish my point. Now we up here talking.
I didn't.
Hold on. Can I finish my point?
Go ahead.
You held his feet to the fire, Stephen A.
No, I was getting ready to say, you're acting like it's past tense.
I'm not.
I ain't changed.
You ain't changed. So all I'm saying
is the position is clear.
Accountability is very different. So then the last thing, I'm going to bring up another point. The last thing about the repost, okay? What's the first thing I came on this show and I said? I said, okay, I understand there's going to be clout on the way he handled the situation, but how come there's no energy in that towards Amazon? Like, there was no energy towards that. So we said, Kyrie Irving, anti-Semitic, and then everybody's tone changed 2.5, 3 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I didn't hear anybody calling Jeff Bezos anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even hear that conversation go towards that. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is the energy around Kyrie, it picks up a lot of traction, and people start tripling down on their takes, and all of a sudden now it's like he's not accountable. He doesn't hold up for teammates. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there aren't troubles with Kyrie. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's labeled just seems to be so extra with him.
Okay.
It seems like he's turned into like a media target.
Are you finished?
Yes, thank you for allowing me to talk for a minute and 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, you want more?
I mean, I'll give you more.
It ain't a minute and 30 seconds. You get plenty of time to talk on the show.
Thank you for allowing me to finish my point.
Exactly. And after I finish, we're going to come back and make sure you get more time.
Okay.
It is a bunch of BS you talking about.
It's not a bunch of BS.
It is
just because you label it BS does not make it BS, Stephen A. Smith.
I said I'm calling it BS.
Okay.
I'm calling it BS.
That's your perspective.
That's right. You're damn right, and it matters. Here's the deal.
So does mine.
Good.
Just as much as yours.
It's good. So you think.
No, I know it does.
I would beg to differ.
I know it does.
I would beg to differ.
I know.
First of all, right now, Jay, you sound ridiculous, okay?
No, like,
because first of all, let's call a couple of things. When Kyrie Irving missed a couple of weeks because of the insurrection at the Capitol, that wasn't about the vaccine. That wasn't about George Floyd. There was an insurrection at the nation's Capitol. You didn't bring that up. What that got to do with basketball? There's a whole bunch of people that were traumatized over it. It didn't stop them from showing up to work. Is that a fact? Yes or no? By the way, when he missed when he missed 2 weeks of basketball because of the insurrection, what transpired? There was a play in the bubble. The Los Angeles Lakers won the championship in the bubble. I noticed that when he was a member of the Players Association as the VP, okay, and he went behind Chris Paul's back and was trying to encourage players not to play. You didn't bring that up. Okay, so you left that out. Then we go to the Lakers winning the championship in the bubble. The season ends in October. It restarts in December, but Kyrie was off since February. So he has 10 months off. And then when he took the 2 weeks off, 2 weeks into the season, because he was traumatized by the insurrection, I'm sorry, wasn't he caught partying with his family? which made him get additional time.
He was at his sister's birthday party.
Wait a minute. Hey, I don't mind. Okay. What I'm saying is that he was saying he was traumatized over the insurrection. When you went partying, you were in violation of league safety protocols because of the pandemic, which forced them to make him take off additional time. So when Tim Legler, me, or anybody else points to what Kyrie has done to contribute to the level of cynicism.
I'm not absolving him of accountability.
Again, I'm going someplace. What I'm saying to you is this. When we bring it up, it's not unfounded. Now, when you bring up, Jeff Bezos, you are absolutely right. Not a single soul disagree with you. What we said was, not only did you jumpstart it, but a whole bunch of people brought up that Jeff Bezos still left that film up, okay? That purportedly anti-Semitic. Excuse me, what kind of traction that gets? So when you talking to the world and you bring up Jeff Bezos, who makes about $70 billion a year, okay, you criticize him. Take the film down. He didn't do it. Now what? All you could do is point out what the issue is and then go from there. In Kyrie's case, you're a player. And you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Who doesn't? We can't knock you for that. But the reality is that he's looking to cash a check. Bezos is cutting checks. Those who have the gold make the rules. We hate it. We don't like it. But it's reality. So you coming on national television whining and moaning about that, I get you because you're right. No. I'm not insulting you.
You just insulted me by saying I'm whining and moaning about it.
I'm whining and moaning it, Jay.
Come on, man.
Because you want to be ultra sensitive. I'm whining and moaning about it. I'm saying to you, it's right. You're right what you're saying. But the point is, it doesn't change the reality that is not what's going to get the headlines. You can complain about Jeff Bezos all you want to, but it's Kyrie Irving that's looking for somebody else's money while he wants to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, which is why we're talking about him. You think Jeff Bezos going to make back page headlines for the New York Daily News?
No, but
it's not going to happen.
We put a different kind of onus on our athletes than we do, and you made mention of that on your podcast.
I don't deny that.
Wait, so first off, I'm not the one.
I don't deny that.
I'm being sensitive.
I don't deny that.
But you're the one that seemed very emotional.
Oh, my God.
And the subject matter, Stephen A.
Go ahead, Jay.
Come on, man.
Go ahead, Jay.
Come on, man.
Go ahead, Jay.
I'm not sitting up here on national TV absolving Kyrie Irving of every decision. I'm not going back and reaccounting every decision. I'm just saying how it's interesting to me. It just carries such a bigger momentum, in particular with you.
Jay, more so than anybody else, Stephen A. You know what?
What I would
ask you is do me a favor. Stop telling us what you find interesting and just tell us what you feel.
No, my job is to be interesting.
You say, I find it interesting. You always say that. Say what you're saying. What are you saying?
What did I just say?
What are you saying?
What am I saying? I just said what I'm saying, Stephen A.
Which is?
And I'm not allowed to say what I find interesting?
Of course you are.
But, like, once again,
I invite you on the show to say what's interesting.
He thinks you're too preoccupied with Kyrie, too hard on Kyrie.
Did I Bridget Kyrie Irving last week before he demanded a trade? We were talking football. How many times have I mentioned Kyrie Irving over the last few weeks?
I don't seem to be the one being triggered right now.
Well, I'm always triggered.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you are not.
Okay.
I've seen you. I watch your show every day.
So what
are
you
talking about? Are we talking about Kyrie or is this personal?
It seems personal.
I don't want it to be personal.
What seems personal?
It seems personal for you.
For me with Kyrie?
Yes.
You
1,000,000%.
You of all people with all the interest you have got the nerve to sit here in national television and tell me I'm getting personal with a player? I don't lose no sleep.
I didn't say you lose sleep.
I don't lose any sleep over Kyrie.
I didn't say you lose sleep.
I'm passionate about the subjects I'm passionate about. I don't accuse you of getting personal when you take the
position. You have accused me of getting personal.
Oh, my God.
You have, Stephen A.
Can I go on the court?
I'm going to leave it.
Can I go on the court real quick? Because I'd like to. Because when we started off.
We both got a lot to say.
All right.
You do?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay,
just say it, Jay.
Can I?
I'm not in here for that.
Just say it, Jay.
I'm on your show.
Okay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia,
visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We're all colleagues. We're all teammates. When we started off, you were talking about how they fit on the court. Right?
Yep.
And how you don't know if they're ultimately going to be contenders, the Mavs. That's where I want to go. What's the ceiling with Kyrie on the Mavs?
I think they have a chance to win a championship. I mean, I'm not going to lean all the way in yet. I still think when you lose Dodo and you lose Spencer Dinwiddie, it takes away some of your wings. I still think they have to make a certain style of move. But I will say that I think offensively, they are uniquely different. And I think it's going to become how much can Luka buy into legs, giving the ball up early, getting Kyrie involved. But they do lead the league in ISO possessions per game, so it does fit stylistically with how they play.
How do you like the fit?
I think Dallas got a chance to get to the finals.
Okay.
I think that Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic together are spectacular offensively, can derail a lot of teams no matter what they get, what they lack defensively, because they're so potent offensively, it forces opposing offenses to be more efficient. And I don't think everybody in the West can pull that off. I think it's a situation where you look at Denver, yeah, that's a team that could do it. Denver, Memphis has been up in the air. The Clippers have been up in the air. The Lakers, I mean, that says it all. Okay, Phoenix has been up in the air. No one is running away with the West. We look at one team and one team only. It's Denver because of Jokic. It's Denver because of the elevation of Jamal Murray. Obviously, we can't ignore Michael Porter Jr. We see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shooting the ball well. We see their depth, and we know they're well coached, and you have to go to the Mile High City because of that altitude. So in that regard, I think that's a lot to expect anybody to overcome. But outside of the Denver Nuggets, I don't see anyone that you can definitively say is going to take out the Dallas.
Wide open.
Denver's the best team in the West. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're asking me, I had two options. Dallas gets to the finals. Dallas loses in the first round.
Yep.
I'm putting my money on Dallas losing in the first round before I would pick them to go to the NBA finals.
Okay.
Listen, Kyrie has always been at his best playing with LeBron, and that's why we thought it was going to work next to Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like in that second spot, right? That worked great for him next to LeBron James. Didn't work as well in Boston when he was asked to be more of a leader, and he admitted that. He didn't have a taste for that, so he found Kevin Durant again. So you think, okay, now he's back in that spot again next to Luka. Here's the difference. LeBron James is a guy that gave the ball up earlier in the clock to Kyrie Irving to still have time to do his thing. If you watch the Dallas Mavericks play and the way that Luka plays, nobody controls the ball deeper into the clock than Luka Doncic. By the time he gives it up, he's expecting a shot to be taken. It's either a kick-out three or a lob or a pocket pass at the rim, or he shoots it.
Yeah.
That's the way he has played. Now, is he smart enough to be able to adjust playing with a guy like this? Yes, but that is going to take time, and I'm not sure there's going to be enough time in this season for those two guys to figure out that kind of rhythm to beat a team like Denver. By the way, Steve, he left off one guy on Denver who is massively important.
Aaron Gordon.
And he has had an all-star caliber year. And that's why I look at their top four. I say Denver's the best team in the Western Conference, and I don't see Dallas right now being there. I'll give it time. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it come playoff time.
No,
but right now, it's a reach for me to see those two guys seamlessly blending in together. And they're going to have a lot of issues keeping the ball out of the paint on the other end of the floor.
So jury's still out for Tim. You guys expecting potentially, I'll say the ceiling could be a finals appearance or even winning the chip. Jay, appreciate you. Tim, we'll get into this more in the second hour. And obviously, we'll look at the Nets and KD as well. Plenty more to tackle on this subject. And on that note, we're going to football because I got Marcus Spears and the Playmaker standing by. And it's Super Bowl week. And this is going to be a great matchup. When Jalen Hurts and the Eagles face Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, this is the first Super Bowl matchup of two black quarterbacks
in NFL history. Mahomes is in his third Super Bowl in 5 years. Remarkable. While Hurts is playing in his first. Some are calling it the Andy Reid Bowl. Here's Jalen.
I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It's hard for me to compare myself to any other player because I know I'm who I am. I play the game in a very unique way. Me personally, being able to be consistent in the run game, be consistent in the passing game, and ultimately mentally know what my plan is and knowing what I want to do based off of my preparation. And I think that's the beautiful part about all of this is everybody has an opinion about something, but everybody in their opinions don't deposit at the bank.
All right, both squads are in the desert, and look who's here, my guy, Swaggo and Michael. Look at the backgrounds. We got one guy in Vegas, one guy out there in Phoenix. Gentlemen, these guys have already been bringing in the heat. It's Monday morning. I mean, I didn't even get to ease into my day,
Molly, I'm about to send some mimosas over there. I'm gonna send some chocolate, some flowers. We need to get some good energy going through there.
It was a good debate, though.
I mean, this is what it's all about, baby. I'm good. I'm totally good. You know.
Hey, Marcus, man, it's so good seeing you, my brother. It's so good seeing you, Stephen A. What's up, Molly, everybody, man? But listen, Stephen A.
I'm not going to front. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of y'all.
Y'all chill out. Y'all can chill out, though. I hear you and Jay Will. Listen.
Oh, I'm not chill.
We got him now.
I'm not chill.
And you know, whenever someone...
My boy
told me, he said, man, I can't believe Kyrie went to Dallas. I said, what do you mean? They got that? We got Kyrie? They said, yeah. He said, man, Kyrie going to be problems. I said, leave this man alone. Don't this man deserves a second and a third chance? Because we got him now, and I'm excited. I can't wait to see that. I know we got to talk football, but I love that discussion right there, and I believe
I'm happy for you, Irv.
It's going
to
be
good. I can't wait to see you courtside. Yeah, we'll make sure to get that video working into the show. All right, gentlemen, let's do this. Have some fun before we see you both in person this week. Obviously, First Take's going to be out there in the Super Bowl. We can't wait. Okay, Playmaker, who's going to have a better game? You think it's Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes?
Man, listen, and it's – when we said better, we're talking about putting up numbers. We're talking about wins. I'm going to talk about both sides of it. And when I look at this game, you know, I like to go get things that I can like in the game, too. Kansas City Chiefs. I went back to the game they played against Tampa in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago because this defense right here that the Chiefs are about to face, the Eagles have, they have that ability to get to the quarterback, number one in sacks. They got 70 sacks, all right? On the back end, they're number one in pass defense. They can get to Patrick Mahomes. You remember that game? Patrick Mahomes only, he didn't throw a touchdown in that game. He threw two interceptions in that game. That's on the defensive end. On the other side, I look at the game they played this season, against Tennessee. You remember that game? Tennessee was able to run that ball all game long. They were winning that game. The Chiefs won that game 2017 in overtime, only because the Titans didn't even get a first down in the second half. They got one first down in the second half of 22 yards, excuse me. So, really, when I put those two games together, and I think the Chiefs has the ability to do that to him on defense and do that to the Chiefs on offense, I'm looking at Jalen Hurts saying, wow, this is the ascension, the perfect ascension. Jalen Hurts in his first year, not even a winning record. Second year, he gets in the playoff. He gets to taste what it feels like to be in a playoff, and he loses against Tampa. That team goes on to win the Super Bowl. This year, he has his team in the Super Bowl. Yeah, we're not talking about the traditional way on who's having a better game. Jalen Hurts not going to come out here and throw for 466 yards and 5 touchdowns. But I tell you what, he will come out here and throw for 250 yards, and he'll come out and rush for another 130 yards. He'll throw for 3 touchdowns and rush for another 2 and walk away with the MVP in the victory. I'm taking Jalen Hurts in this spot because running the football and being physical in the NFL, it translates anywhere. I don't care what time you play, when you play, and what game you're playing in, and the Eagles can do that.
Irv, you preaching this morning. Go ahead, Dante.
I feel you, a playmaker, but you know what? Obviously, the sunshine's hitting you a little bit early. Maybe some coyotes are running around behind you, and your mind is just drifting a little bit. I'm just thinking about it from the perspective that Patrick Mahomes just shows. I mean, he's on a big stage. The last time we saw him in the Super Bowl, he got romped by Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I think that the remnants from that experience are going to keep that. That's going to elevate their level of preparation. I look at it from the standpoint that him, Travis, Kelce, it depends on, obviously, the health of the other players, the receivers, the Juju Smith-Schusters of the world and various others, what they're going to be able to give you. Darius Toney is somebody that we can't ignore either. I'm not necessarily telling you I think that Kansas City is going to win this game, but I definitely think that Patrick Mahomes is going to put up numbers. I definitely believe that he's going to put on a show. And I think that when you talk about Jalen Hurts, you got to look at his supporting cast. Obviously, the defense is going to try to do their thing, and they're going to have their work cut out for them against Patrick Mahomes. But offensively, the Eagles have a stout running game, okay? Not just Jalen Hurts running the football, but Sanders running the football, Gainwell running the football. They've got brothers that they can hand, Boston Scott running the football. They've got brothers they can hand the football to that they can run, chew up the clock, move the chains, wear you down, etc., etc. And that's why I say when we ask the question directly about who will have the better game, I think I got to go with Mahomes. Because I think Mahomes is going to be required to do more just to keep Kansas City in the game against Philadelphia.
Right.
So they might lose the game, but that doesn't mean that Mahomes is going to have a worse game than Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts' supporting cast, particularly the ability to run a football, is something that's going to be exposed. They're going to take advantage of that, and I think that could very well lead to them being victorious, but that doesn't mean he's going to have a better game than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not willing to go that far.
Well, it's two things y'all alluded to. And first of all, I need your energy better, Stephen A. Smith, when you talking about Patrick Mahomes,
right?
Okay? Because I know you done gave all your damn energy away to Jay Will and talking about Kyrie.
I love
but I need some more energy when you start talking about the best player in the NFL. I've been telling people all damn season.
Can I say one thing real quick? Swaggo.
Go ahead, Molly.
You're glowing right now. You look very handsome, but your voice is getting a little scratchy already. It's a little too early for this. You got a whole week in Phoenix ahead of you.
Ready.
Slow down.
Not only that, y'all will be on with us.
Okay.
Hold on, Swaggoo.
Hold on,
Molly. Swaggoo, y'all will be on with us later on in the week.
Yeah.
I'll be on every day. I'm pacing myself.
Okay, pace yourself, but we ain't going to pace ourselves on a Monday morning. You just got me fresh off the Pro Bowl game. Right. Let me get to this. Both of y'all alluded to Tampa. First of all, Patrick Mahomes lost his whole damn offensive line before he went into that Super Bowl. That had more to do with his performance than anything outside of that. The second thing is when you look at what Patrick Mahomes just did against the Cincinnati Bengals, might I add, everybody reminded all week long that this is where he going to lose. This is the third. He lost to this team three times. He 0-3. We actually had the unmitigated gall, like Stephen A. liked to say, to have a conversation if Joe Burrow was better than Patrick Mahomes, which was absolute foolishness. Yeah. I watched it on the network all week long. I wanted to be on every damn show talking about it. The other thing is this. If it is a game, a football game going on, and it's two quarterbacks on the damn field, and you put this question up here, I'm going to pick Patrick Mahomes 100% of the time. Now, is it going to happen 100% of the time? No, but it's going to happen 98% of the time. Patrick Mahomes in any game against any quarterback, I'm going to take him to have a better game. I love the point. It don't mean that they're going to win. Right now, in my mind, the Philadelphia Eagles are a more complete team than the Kansas City Chiefs. But the only reason we're talking about this game being close is because of 15 playing quarterback for the other team. And we know how he can raise the level. Let me just say this to the playmaker and to Stephen A, because me and Stephen A agree on this. I'm glad we can agree on this Monday morning. The man was down three starting wide receivers and beat a team that was better than him last week in the AFC Championship. Let's not forget that going into this game. I know I've been on the Philadelphia Eagles all season long. I think they are great. I'm excited for Jalen. I think Jalen is going to play well. But let's not just get so far removed from the fact that Patrick Mahomes plays for the Kansas City Chiefs and what we've seen him do over this time. He's going to his third Super Bowl in 5 years. He's been the five AFC champions.
He can be on, Swaggo. He can be on, Swaggo.
Last word here, Irv. We got to roll.
He can still be on. He can be on, Swaggo, and still lose his game. He was on against Tennessee. There were two players that had 10-plus receptions.
I'm not saying he can't lose. We said who will have the better game.
And keep him on the sideline rushing the football. Just like Tennessee kept on the sideline.
Fellas. Calm down.
Oops. I listened to them.
All right, we're up against it.
Calm down.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Unfortunately, Michael Irvin's Dallas Cowboys will not be there. Dak Prescott may be locked in for two more years in Big D, signing through 2024, but Jerry and Steven could see another 8 years added to that. Dak is set to count $49 million against the 2023 salary cap. Here's Jerry with more on the future of his QB.
I'm still very strong. Not still. I'm very strong on Dak. This whole thing reflects the upside that I feel in Dak. The fact that we're doing this, Mike's calling the plays, this has everything to do with the positiveness around Dak. It's building around Dak.
Do you address Dak's deal now? I mean, the number, I know we talked before that it's something that you would look at or could look at.
Yeah, I think you can look at it, absolutely. I mean, it's not, do we do it or not? I mean, it takes two parties to talk. The bigger thing for us is Dak's going to be our guy for the next, hopefully, 10 years.
That's some high praise right there. Now, Prescott did struggle holding on to the ball all season long. He threw 17 interceptions this season, which was tied for the most in the NFL and was the most by a Cowboys quarterback since Tony Romo did that in 2012. His 3.7 interception rate was the third highest in a season over the last five seasons across the NFL. We got a guys back with us in Sin City in the desert. Marcus, are you outside?
No, I'm inside.
Okay, I just needed to know that. Okay.
I actually like the backdrop of the studio. I'm looking forward.
It looks so good. I believed you were outside.
I'll be in that studio on several occasions over the next few weeks. So, yes, I like the way that it looks from now.
Thanks for divulging.
It's a great place. I've been in Vegas too long. Y'all, I got here last Wednesday. Y'all know I got a 48-hour rule with Vegas. You can't stay here too long.
Yeah, me too.
And last night, Molly, you asked me about my raspy voice.
Yeah.
Last night, I got caught up in them Grammys, and I was just lost. lit my girl Lizzo.
It was off the chain.
Oh my God.
It was off the chain last night. Man, the Grammys, I'm glad Marcus brought that up. All the special. Beyonce, listen, Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson, then the celebration of hip hop, LL, and the hope, and the award named after Dr. Dre. It is so appropriate. So appropriate.
Let me tell y'all, Let me tell y'all something funny before we go. So I was waiting on DJ Khaled all night, right? I knew the God Did performance was coming up.
When
he came up, Stephen A., I went outside in the hallway and I screamed, "They ain't want us to win." And like four people came out their room and said, "God Did." I was crying.
Oh,
I thought they was going to call security on me, man. It was a good time last night. I
best
love
Grammys
Lizzo,
I've
though.
Ever seen.
So if Grammys you know I've Lizzo, if you know Lizzo S.A. or Molly, you know Lizzo, tell Lizzo I love her. Lizzo is a positive light in the world. That's my girl, man.
Yes. She absolutely is.
It's about damn time. Yes.
All right, Marcus.
In a minute.
Marcus, one word for you.
Let's go. We got to work.
Spa. The spa. That's where you should go. Stephen A., should Dallas extend Dak?
Look, y'all. Look. All right. Michael Irvin, Swaggoo. Yeah. But by default. I guess you got to. Let me be very, very clear. I don't think he deserve it. But I understand, if you the Cowboys, why you got to do it. Now, Swaggoo, you're a different animal because you were in Dallas. And you were in Dallas after the Super Bowl years, and so you're accustomed to the struggle. The struggle's real, and you're accustomed to it. So I understand that. So you could look at Dak Prescott, and you could go like, yo, you give him his money. You see what I'm saying? The shame is in that damn Michael Irvin. You understand what I'm saying? It's in that damn Michael Irvin. That's the shame. The three-time Super Bowl champion, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker. You got a quarterback that damn it don't make plays when it counts. And this dude is sitting up here talking like, yo, of course you're going to give him an extension. Of course you're going to give him his money. See, this is the problem. I mean, there's a level of mediocrity that has been accepted. Now, I don't want to call Dak mediocre. Dak is damn good. He's not a scrub. And it's back-to-back 12-5 seasons, and I see all of that. But damn it, it's America's team. It's the Cowboys, man. I mean, damn, they ain't had a Super Bowl since. Not only have they not had a Super Bowl since 1995, Super Bowl championship, they haven't had a Super Bowl appearance since that time either. And they haven't had an NFC championship game since that time. So there's three layers of futility that we failed to bring up. We only bring up one. They don't have a Super Bowl title. No, they don't have a Super Bowl appearance. And they don't have conference championship appearances in 27 years. And counting. And this guy has been your quarterback for 9 years. And he's got two playoff victories to show for it. Now, it takes four playoff victories to win one Super Bowl. The brother got two playoff victories in 9 years. Okay? That means he's averaging a playoff victory every 4.5 years. Now, to y'all, if y'all want to sit up there and say that warrants a contract extension, I'm going to defer to y'all. All I'm going to say to y'all is that it's kind of disappointing.
That's
my brother's definition of success. That's all I'm saying.
Can I say this before Playmaker go? Because I've been watching you at Playmaker. You know both of y'all I consider my big bros, and I love y'all to death. I've been watching Playmaker for a long time. Playmaker, I just realized when Stephen A. was saying this, Playmaker, this your fault. This is your fault. This is your fault. This is Troy Aikman's fault. This is Emmitt Smith's fault. This is Leon Lett's fault. This is Larry Allen's fault. This y'all fault, right? Because y'all set a standard. What you are supposed to do, okay? And I know you're going through this with Dallas and the University of Miami right now, Playmaker. And I know that you were a part of those teams when they were great. That's all I want to say. I was a part of it. See how Stephen A. just threw me to the trash? He said, you different because you suffered a lot of mediocrity when you was playing in Dallas.
Right.
It really hurt me. It hurt me. It got personal. it did get personal.
I mean,
I'm going to pass the mic to you because you experienced the heights of what the Cowboys was. I just want to say it's your fault. All the guys that have come after y'all have had to try to get up to this standard. And the fact is that don't nobody acknowledge all y'all went to the damn Hall of Fame. Everybody. Go ahead, playmaker. It ain't my fault. It ain't our fault. It's the standard y'all set.
And the standard that was set even prior to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I talk about that. When I got to Miami, there was a championship on the table. When I got to Dallas, there was a championship on the table. Don't you have a career here and not leave a championship on the table? And I still believe Dak will have that championship to leave on the table. I'm totally with Jerry Jones. I'm totally with Stephen Jones when they say right here, Dak is our guy. I never heard anyone say, let's start building something, but let's get rid of what we have going right now that's pretty good. I know Dak threw some interceptions this year, but Dak has never, let me say this again, never, ever, he's never had a losing season, unless you count the 2-3 he went in 2020 when he had hurt. But he's never had a losing season. In the last two seasons, he's had back-to-back, led this team, the number one offense. He's the number one offense with him on the football field. Stop talking crazy. Stop even acting like, oh, it's time to get rid of Dak. And go find who. They don't have quarterbacks sitting out here on the apple tree to go pluck and put in your lineup. You can't find another Dak Prescott. And we made the mistake the one time by holding out like we're going to get a better deal. The number's only going to continue to go north from here. You sign Dak. You lock him in. Jerry and Steven, don't make the same mistake you made this year and not have enough weapons
Michael
for
Irvin.
Dak. Because if Amari Cooper was on that team, we would be right here in Phoenix right now.
So
and I know Jerry and Steven are real there.
So that's where we're going to go.
You got to stop doing that. You can't understand.
I'm telling y'all, we would have been right here. If T.Y. Hilton would have signed earlier, we would be right here. Dak Prescott, we can get
always give it to him.
Hold on. So now is if we had Amari Cooper. Now if T.Y. Hilton had signed earlier. Let me ask you this question, Michael Irvin. When you sat up there and you proclaimed that Dallas was going to the Super Bowl, didn't you know that Amari Cooper was going? Didn't you know that T.Y. Hilton had been signed late? It didn't stop you. And oh, by the way, that's right. Swaggoo's upset because you gave me the ammunition. I thank you. You gave it to me on a silver platter. That's what they do, Swaggoo. Didn't I tell you? That's just what they do. Just be patient and wait. They can't help themselves. Michael Irvin, let me ask you this question. I give it to you. You can't just pluck a Dak Prescott off a tree. I got that. I just have a simple question, and I'll leave it to you two to banter over after I ask this question. Are there any quarterbacks out there that you know that can get you a playoff victory once every 4.5 years or 2 times in 9 years?
But okay, Stephen A. Let me get the answer.
Let me tell you something.
Because we like to talk about the inefficiencies Dallas has had, and Dak and Kent, they haven't won any playoff game. It's not about winning playoff games. It's about winning Super Bowls. I'm sorry. You got to win Super Bowls. You got to win playoff games to get a Super Bowl. It's Green Bay. Green Bay has had great quarterbacking for the last 40 years. And each one of those Hall of Fame quarterbacks only have one Super Bowl. It's a difficult thing to win. But Dak Prescott has the ability to get the Cowboys there. I don't want everybody out here to fall into this mix and this mess that y'all perpetuate where everybody's coming in like, you got to get rid of Dak. You got to get rid of Dak and leave us sitting somewhere in purgatory, somewhere between heaven and hell without a quarterback for the next 15 years. So y'all can stop this rhetoric and stop this mess because your virus will not get into our computer and get us out of the fight.
It already has.
We will stay in the fight and we will beat up next year. So stop it.
Everyone seems to be getting triggered this morning.
From the mountaintops.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.